you may want to turn to Romans chapter 6 while I kind of introduce this thing. I want to remind you of the verse that we just keep hammering on and have all this year from Luke 9:23, that if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's what Jesus said. Now, he was talking to Christians here. He wasn't talking to the lost. And I think we'll see that there is two parts to this thing called being a child of God. And we've talked about it before. But it seemed appropriate to God to have me deal with it a little different way again and over. I talked to a group of cutters over at West Point, Mississippi. And I told them, you know, that in the morning we as Christians try to crawl up on that cross with Christ. And we try to stay up there as long as we can. And about 2 o'clock that afternoon, after I preached and we talked, and I got my horses out and we started getting horses ready to show. And about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I passed a guy hurriedly on the way to the barns to get me another horse. And he said, "Are you still up there?" And I said, and he grinned big. I said, "Do what now?" He said, "Are you still up there?" I said, "I don't believe I understand." He said, "Man, you preached this morning that the first thing we do as Christians is try to crawl up there on that cross with Jesus and see how long we can stay there. I just wonder if you're still there." I like that. I like it. And it's a good picture of what we do. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and come after me. It's not something we can do a week at a time or a month at a time. We may not even be able to do it a day at a time. But try to stay where He wants us to be. The way, the only way that we as born-again believers, with all the information we're flooded with, are going to be able to do this, is to not let the cross get out of our sight. Here we just finished Christmas, the start of the process that ended at the cross. The most important moment in history. And we've got to continually go back there if we're going to have the strength to do what God wants us to do. The cross is where everything ended with sin and everything started with sanctification. Until the cross, there was no way you could have victory over sin and no way that you could clean up. You can't clean yourself up. I hope we're convinced of that. Without Jesus saving you, and then you can't without the Holy Spirit doing the work in you. So Jesus saved us from sin, and Jesus saved us also from the daily control sin has over us. So, we need the cross to be saved, and we need the cross to be kept from sin on a daily basis. But I'm going to tell you this. So many people only do the one thing. They only get saved. And saved is a multiple thing that happens to us. Not only do we become a child of God, it takes away our future in hell. We get heaven and we miss hell. But there's that other thing. There's that thing about Satan being in control of us every day. And through salvation, God made it possible for us to even not have that to worry about. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul says, "Know ye not that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, for as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now, Christ got a new body and became a new person after His resurrection. That's a symbol of what we're to do. We've talked about the old man and the new man and the new creation, and we're supposed to do that too. "For if we have been planted together..." And that planted, that word in the Greek means united with Him. So if we've been united with Christ together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. When we die to ourselves and accept Jesus' blood for our sins, we're supposed to be resurrected too. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, in verse 9 it says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, for he that is dead is freed from sin," verse 7. "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." The Scripture says I'm crucified with Christ, but I live. But not me, but Christ liveth in me. So you see, that's what this is saying again. That if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. From that point on, at salvation, we should be living with Christ on a daily basis. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. And I've added in my margin, or you, or me. Once you have died in Christ, you will not die anymore. A Christian does not die again. Francis Schaeffer said it better in one of the few things that he writes that I can understand. That when we are walking in our mortal life and we die, if we're walking on a sidewalk, death to us is just like a crack in the sidewalk. We just step right over the crack and keep right on walking in heaven. Nothing stops in our life, our spiritual life. We leave our body here and our spirit life goes to heaven, to be face to face with Christ. Our scripture says to be absent from our body is to be face to face with Him. And so if we're walking here when we have a stroke or a heart attack or whatever kills us, we take that last step here and we take another step in heaven. We just keep right on walking. That is probably the best picture that I know that the Bible described about a Christian dying. We don't really die. We never die again. For in that He died, verse 10, He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God every day. Now see, that's making an analogy of our life spiritually. We die to ourselves. We died to our sin and looked at the cross. Took Jesus' payment for our sin. And so we're dead to ourselves. From then on we live for Christ. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying here that we need to reckon that. It's an attitude. We need to believe and understand that we are now dead to ourselves and we're living with and for Christ. Let not sin therefore, he says, because of all this I've just said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lust. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We now know that we can live with Jesus with the power in us that He gave us not to sin. We don't have to. Will we sin? Oh, yes. But we don't have to live in sin. And as it said here, let it reign in us. Let sin rule in our lives. That we'll be a person who is doing bad stuff every day and people tend to associate us with that bad stuff. We don't have to do that anymore. Like I said, will we sin? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. But here again, we can't use it as an excuse. Now, therefore, because of what we've just read, salvation gave us victory over sin and death and hell. We don't have to deal with that anymore. I've said before, you know, I got through this stage, and a lot of people I've learned did that too after talking with people. They get so worried and caught up with the sins that they do, they make lists and just keep up with them. And they notice them, and they think about them, and they dwell on them, and it brings them down. How do you get away from that? You focus, you put your focus on Jesus, and you so fix your mind on Him that you can't even see your own sin. They don't bother because you know you're saved. The indwelling Holy Spirit gives you the power to choose to live daily as God wants. Christ had the power, y'all, to come down off that cross. Do you believe that? He could have come down any minute. It could have gotten so bad, He could have climbed down there. That song says He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have, but He didn't. He stayed up there in order to be obedient to God. Somebody says He stayed there for us. Indirectly, He did. But His direct reason for staying up on that cross and going through that process was because that's what God had told Him to do. And that's what He was trying to do, was be obedient to God. Set an example for us that we might try to be obedient to Him also. The only problem is with all that, you see, you and I could come down off that cross too. We don't have to be pulled off. We can come down on our own. You say, well, how does that happen? When somebody offends us and you turn on. When somebody does something you don't like and you attempt to defend yourself. When somebody hurts your reputation and you decide to take up for yourself. When you mistreat somebody just because they've mistreated you. That's the way it happens. That's the way Satan acts and the way he wants you to act. Satan is always ready and standing, waiting to reactivate that old man. He's going to give you the power to be the old man. God gives you the power to be the new creation. Satan gives you the power to be the old man. And he will use your natural tendencies to try to keep you from being what God wants you to be. And he's always waiting, and we've got to remember that. You know, the scriptures say, give no place for the devil. Don't invite him in and have him a soft chair to sit in. Make sure that you understand what he wants you to do and avoid it. In Romans 16:18, we talked about 3 weeks ago about people who don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but serve their own body. That is serving sin. Doing what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. We die to sin when we get saved. Sin. All sin. Christ died for sin. For your sins and my sins and all sins before and all sins in the future. Sin. The only word I know that in the singular is plural. Sin covers every sin. Dying to self is what we do every day. To deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Christ. Dying to self is a whole lot harder than dying to sin. When we get saved, Jesus makes us understand that we have died to sin, but we have to choose to die to ourselves every single day. Paul says, I die daily. Now, like I said, I've been asked, how many times do you have to ask forgiveness? Once a week? Once every 2 weeks? Once a day? How much? Well, I tell them I don't know about anybody else, but I have to do it all day long. Because I find myself being aware of something that I just did that I knew I shouldn't have done. But so many of those things are after I do them. And I have to stop and say, Lord, forgive me. And several times a day, I will ask God to forgive me for my sins. It says in 1 John that if I ask forgiveness for the ones I know about, he'll forgive me even for the ones I don't know about. And you know, that brings up another point. I sin every day and I'm not even aware I'm doing it. But they keep me separated from God. Those sins that I don't know I do will do it also, unless I ask God to forgive me for them. Turn to 1 John, if you will. I want to show you something there. In 1 John chapter 2, let me ask you, do you remember in the parable of the sowers, the seed and the sowers, the seed went out four different places, fell on four different kinds of ground. One, Satan snatched it away from them right off the bat. The other one didn't keep it any time till he threw it away himself. The third one, if I understand right, was saved. He took the word as the seed, and he became a growing plant, a Christian. And then he got tied up in the world, the things that the world offered, and he never produced any fruit. Now that is Satan's will for a born-again believer. He can't do anything about your salvation, but he can keep you from being of any use to God whatsoever. So in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, the biggest temptation we as Christians have, the one that in my experience I've seen that I've had more trouble with and that more other people do, is this right here. 2 John chapter 2, in verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now remember, what is of me and what is of the world is also of Satan. So when I follow me, I'm following Satan. When I follow the world, I'm following Satan too. And the world passeth away, and the lust of it. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He who does the will of God is a born-again believer, who is under the power and control of the Holy Spirit. And it says here, he'll never die. Now let me say this. If you get born again and you're a Christian and you hook up with the world, one of these days, either you're going to leave the world or the world's going to leave you. One of the two. And if you do, if you choose to do that, then you'll go to heaven with no reward. Now whether you understand it or not, there are statuses in heaven. Everybody's not on the same level. There are those who rule and reign with Christ in heaven, and there are those who are common laborers, making minimum wage. The Bible calls them that got there with their coattails on fire. And I don't know about you. I've wanted a halfway decent house here. I've wanted decent clothes and decent food and something decent to drive around. Nothing super fancy. But I tell you, I want that in heaven too. I don't want to be a poor man in heaven. I would like to have a mansion that looks good. I really would. The biggest temptation for us is that the world will pull us away from the thing of Christ. The world is under a sentence of death. It says here in verse 17, and the world passes away and the lust of it. The world has been sentenced to death by God. It's not going to live. We know that it's coming apart. Even the atoms that are held together to form everything in the material world will come apart. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we that are born again will live forever with God in that new heaven and that new earth. But this world is going to pass away. So, the unbeliever and the world is sentenced to death. But we, even here, while we're in this world that's sentenced to death, that is full of people who are also sentenced to death. They're on our right hand, they're on our left hand, they're in front of us and behind us. But we can live, Scripture says, in heavenly places with Christ. Even though we live in a place that's not going to last, we're going to last. And we need to treat it that way. If we invest ourselves in the things of the earth, when the earth leaves, we won't have any status whatsoever. But those who do God's will live forever. I like the idea, y'all, and like I say, reckon it. It says in the other scriptures, reckon it, that you'll never die because you won't. And you need to live like you'll never die. You need not to worry about what's going on in this world because you're not a citizen here anyhow. Do you live here? Yes, you do. But it's not your country. Heaven is your country. That's where you will rule and reign or live with God ever. The choice is ours on a daily basis to take control of our lives. As Paul said in Corinthians, I bring my body under submission that I don't get captivated by Satan and sin in this world.